1 Corinthians chapter 3, the first four verses. As a boy, I was a Royal Ranger, and somewhere in my middle teens, I got some of my buddies together, and we decided to go camping on the hillside out behind our house. It was expected to rain. I don't know if you know what that feels like, but we decided, well, we'll lash together a lean-to for ourselves. We covered it with plastic. We put some plastic down for our sleeping bags. It was just a perfect little setting. Until in the middle of the night, we found out that plastic may not be the best thing to use when you're on a hillside. We kept finding ourselves inching like inchworms back up into the lean-to, because whenever we fell asleep and relaxed, we would slide down the plastic back out into the rain. And so it wasn't a very fitful night's sleep. But we learned some valuable lessons about camping. As has been said, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. The key, of course, is to stay alive. But more than just your blood pumping through your veins and your lungs continuing to fill with air, stay alive. Keep living. Enjoy the moments. These are the moments of your life. This is the time. This is the time to seize life, be alive, enjoy the journey, fulfill your purpose, be who you were created to be. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the first four verses. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. You're still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? Father, help us. Help us open our eyes a little wider today at the wonder of your creation in and of us. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I studied this book for decades. I've done several series out of 1 Corinthians. And I feel like I missed an important point out of this passage that I'd never seen before. I thought Paul was just telling us, stop putting up artificial barriers between one another according to your favorite speaker, pastor, evangelist, whatever it may be. And that's in here, you know. Jimmy Swaggart, Joel Osteen, Joyce Meyer, Charles Stanley, whoever it might be, you know. Stop it. But there's more here than that. You were not created to be someone else's clone. Sometimes we beat ourselves up because we're not like somebody, or we're trying really hard to imitate and follow after. No one on earth has it so together you should make them the focus of your Christian walk. Oh, that they're great. They're wonderful. I wonder what that'd be like to have as a neighbor. Or as a spouse or family member. If you could get their spouse alone to talk to them just for a little bit and find out, what are the idiosyncrasies that go along with all that greatness? Have mentors, sure, but don't be so gone on them that you have to imitate everything they do. God's given us a variety of teachers for a reason. They provide us with a balanced diet. Now, of course, you're going to be drawn to somebody's style or forte more than somebody else. We all have our different tastes. But don't become a tunnel student. This is the one, and that's what I need, and constantly on point on the same message. One of the things I love about my kids is they seem to have picked up the best traits of both Barb and I. Had they picked up our bad traits, that'd really be messed up. But they seem to have been able to pick over the bad stuff and take the good ones. I can see a lot of Barb in Josh and in Kayla, and I can see a lot of myself in them as well. And I appreciate that they picked out the good stuff. And that's what we are able to do when it comes to our teachers, our mentors. Pick up the good stuff. And don't get too tunnel vision. Don't get too focused on one, but take in that variety from it all. There are, of course, a lot of people you just need to stay away from. Their teaching is bad, it's harmful, it's not good. Just give up that diet altogether, even if it might tickle your ears every once in a while. But even among the good ones, you have to be careful of what you're consuming. Be discerning. And you don't have to cut off every teacher just because, I didn't agree with that comment. We'd end up listening to no one. Some of us ought to have disclaimers when we're teaching. Strong on grace, weak on holiness. Or I like this one. Fine for an occasional word, but lacking sufficient nutrition for everyday consumption. Now, there's one particular evangelist that I'm not too fond of generally, but one of his sermons every once in a while I find very helpful. It's always the same sermon usually, but every once in a while I need that one sermon. I need my little pep talk and I'm good to go. I can't handle a steady diet of it, but it's good for everyone. When you're looking for a pastor, you need somebody that has a balanced diet. Trust your pastor for consistent, well-rounded messages, and then season with evangelists as needed. I could use a little bit of this, I could use a little bit of that. You don't have to be a clone to have an identity or a ministry. God made you unique because He wanted a you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Not just physically, but psychologically. Your temperament, your personality. Oh, I know there's some volatility in there and you need to be careful. You know where your buttons are. Your family knows where your buttons are. And you need to be careful in some places. But there's some awesomeness in all that. I know a few folk who are absolutely gone on celebrity. And anytime you talk to them, I saw so-and-so. I ran into a guy in Walmart the other day. He saw my Expect Jesus sweatshirt on. And so he said, what's the name of the group? I can't remember the name of the group. I was at their concert. He said, do you know such and such group? I said, yeah, I've heard. He knows them all by name. He was at the con. They're just regular guys, and he's just going on and on about this group. And it struck me, the more he talked, I thought, do you know Jesus? Do you love the Lord? He just, drove how many hundreds of miles just to go to a concert, and he was only the fourth row back, and, he got some sweat on him from the band, and he just, so now he's anointed, and he just went on and on. That's all right. We get a little buzz whenever our team wins, as if we had anything to do with it at all. Of all the excuses I've ever heard coaches or players make, I've never heard them say they needed better fans. Well, I think if Joel would have just yelled at the television a little louder, it would have given us the oomph we needed and we'd have come home with a championship. Now, I find this quite interesting. Identifying with other individuals or organizations divides us. Now, it can unite us, I see you're a Steeler fan, I see you're an Eagle fan. I see you're a Steeler fan, I see you're an Eagles fan. You got to be careful with your identifications. If we really want people to think Jesus when they see us, maybe we need to be careful with those identifications. As soon as I announce I follow so-and-so, someone takes a step back from me. Oh, you're one of those. I see. Paul's instructing us to keep our divisions to an absolute minimum. Eagles, Ravens, Democrats, Republicans. I only eat organic. That's nice. Especially if those identifications begin to define you as a person. What comes out in your conversation? What's most important to you? What drives your life? I followed a guy into the deli, Schultz's Deli, the other day, had shorts on. He had Steelers tattooed down both calves. I thought, okay, I'm a fan, but wow, you know? Steelers tattooed down both calves. What are you about? What do you want people to see when they see you? What do you want them to think about? You are so loved, so special to God. Maybe you ought to have a t-shirt with your picture on it. Loved by God. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? The reason you don't need anyone else, you don't want to be anyone else's clone, is because you're just excellent as you. You do a very good you. Don't you know you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? Last night we had a real win here. 30 kids, 30 teenagers, and 10 adults showed up, and workers. Ron, thank you so much for your cooking. He brought a lot of food. It was gone. So we bought a lot of pizzas. It was gone. But what a beautiful sight. And as I sat on the sideline and watched the kids doing an icebreaker, each life, how precious. Us not knowing which one might be contemplating suicide. Which one might be ready to make a life-changing decision that's going to affect them forever. Each one was a story. Each one had a set of parents. Some looked kind of awkward and so on. You just couldn't help love each one as you saw. They were all beautiful in their own little way. And I think that's how God sees it. It was a neat experience for me because I used to be a youth pastor. And before that, I used to be a youth. And how your view, when you're a grandpa, you see people different than you used to. And it's just a beautiful sight. And I think it is more like God sees us and perceives us. How much time we waste beating ourselves up and feeling bad that we're this way, that we did that, that we didn't do the other. We can't be here and there at the same time and all this. I believe the Lord would just love us to relax a little bit and enjoy the journey that He's given us and to learn to embrace who He made you to be. You know, God designed you in order to live in you. I've been reading through 1 and 2 Chronicles in my devotions here recently. Oh, the detail of what they used, the supplies that were gathered for the temple, the tons of gold and the tons of silver. And just this morning I was reading how they lined all the walls with gold. And then they carved images in it. And in the Holy of Holies, all the walls were gold so that when they lit those lamps, can you imagine how bright it was in that little room where the Ark of the beautiful, shining, and everything was a detail, exacting detail. David said, God told me to build it this way, and he handed those plans on to Solomon and all the measurements and everything. I know we go, oh, yeah, measurements, but exact. This is what I want my temple to look like. First he said, you know what, I don't really need a temple. And they said, well, if I'm going to have a temple, get some gold, lots of gold and silver, and we're going to do it right. The same thought went into you, building you. Every wrinkle, every cranny, every part, that personality that he shaped. Seneca wrote, it takes a lifetime to learn how to live. And I think it takes a very long time to come to peace with who we are. It takes time to both value and discover our gifts. I should say discover and value our gifts. It takes time to both discover and value our gifts. We tend not to appreciate who we are and what we do because we think, well, everybody can do that. No, they can't. No, they can't. And as parents, as grandparents, I think our greatest job is to point out the strengths in our kids. You do that very well. Boy, I like when you, I don't know if you've ever done that with one of your kids and they just stop and almost startling sometimes. I told Parker a long time, I said, you're my favorite singer. So he almost always sings me a song now and when he sings. Tell them what they do well. Don't lie to them because you might get them in trouble. But accentuate the positive there. No one else does what you do like you do it. Why will there always be a next great singing sensation? Because every voice is unique. Everyone sounds different than you. Why will there always be another comic that makes a splash? Every style is different. Haven't you ever marveled at how many different kinds of barbecue sauce they can come up with? And doggone if they aren't different one from the other. How about pizza? I like pizza. Pizza is a very basic recipe, but you won't get two pizzas alike. Jim and Nina's is really good. It's not like Rocco's, though. Rocco's is really good. And sometimes if you had enough Rocco's, you need to go have a Jim and Nina's. And if you had enough of both, maybe a Pizza Hut is good every once in a while. Everybody does it just a little bit different, although they're trying to do it the same, I suppose. And then, of course, Papa John's, better ingredients, better pizza, until you get fired by the company. Unique, different, we like that. Everybody's trying to be the same, but why? Why not just be you? God not only made you unique, he placed you exactly where he wanted you in history and geography. I kind of like our time in history and geography, don't you? I like running water, hot and cold. And as I've said before, you know what's coming next. Cordless drills. The pinnacle of man's technology. How did we ever get along without cell phones? You remember those days? Air conditioning. So thank God we're where we're at. You know, some of us grew up as cowboys. We thought we should have been born in the 1800s and so on and so forth. Only if they'd had air conditioning and cordless drills. And then I'd be fine on my horse. God crafted you, and then God placed you. No accident to that. After all, God is sovereign. God is only good. Quit fighting against it. Quit wrestling. Quit arguing against the genius of God. Relax and go with it. We're going to talk in our Sunday school class about hurry. Did you know that your personality changes when you're in a hurry? You are not you when you're in a hurry. I ought to do a Snickers commercial on you are not you when you're in a hurry. It's true. You're not enjoying anything. You're making the life miserable for everybody. Stop being in a hurry. Relax. I'm learning. God would say, yeah, ever so slowly, but I'm learning. I'm at that red light. First person in line isn't moving when it turns green. Okay. God's got this. It's all in God's timing. He's got this. It's going to work for his good no matter what. I can relax. I can enjoy. I've been placed here by God for a reason. The temple analogy Paul gives us is both individual. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit, and we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. It's individual and it's corporate. We're here for a reason, for a purpose. I know a lot of times we come to church and it's a great respite. Busy week, distracted by it, all focused on God. Hallelujah. But we're more than that. We're here to plant a seed. We're here to do a work together. We are the temple. Without us, they were talking in the prayer room this morning about several people had commented with the crosswalk that we do, where we do the reenactment of Christ carrying his cross through some parking lots and so on. Several times a year, we hear people talk about who is Jesus? What's the cross for? What are they doing? Never heard. We're here for a reason. We are the body of Christ. We're the temple of God. They can look to us. They can come here. They can learn. Heard about somebody else this week that was going through a very troubled time in her life, and so she decided, I got to get back to church. Hallelujah. Thank God we're here for when they need us, for when they need God. We are the temple. We don't want to desecrate the temple, personally or corporately. Lord, we want this to be a holy place. We want them to see you when they come. So we want to keep shining. We want to keep polishing. We want to keep perfecting, Lord, so that there's a good image of you reflected when they come. Understanding my uniqueness helps me fit in with others. I understand my strengths, and I can say, here's what I can bring to the group. Understand my weaknesses. I need help with this or that. We could do this, but I need help. Will you help me? Last night was a success because there were a couple of ladies that stepped up and took things, started organizing things. I can be a big idea guy, but big ideas don't feed teenagers and don't light up the rooms and so on and so forth. Thank God for everybody's gifts that they can bring to the table. One of the mistakes we often make is trying to become whole all by ourselves. I can do this. No, you can't. You need you're wonderful, fearfully and wonderfully made. You got great gifts, but in concert with everybody else. When you get full of yourself, when you think you're hurting yourself and you're hurting others. We get married but never accept our partner's gifts. Never give them. One of the speeches I always give in premarital counseling is, I'll say, at least one of you is good at finance. Maybe both of you, God bless you, but at least one of you, the other needs to allow that person to take the lead financially. I don't care if it's the husband, I don't care if it's the wife. You need to let them lead the way. Set the budget, explain it, have meetings, talk about it all the time, but let them flourish in their gifts. And you'll find that not just in finances, but in many other things around. Let them lead. If they're good at it, God bless them. Let them go and cheer them on. And maybe there are things outside the home that they're really good at. Don't be pulling them back. Be cheering them on. And hopefully they'll be cheering you on too. The more you develop as a person, the greater you're going to be as a couple. And as you learn those things together that you can do, and you can spice one another's gifts and talents, what a powerful duet you can make. But beyond even just marriage, whole neighborhoods can get together. At my brother's funeral, I was amazed at how many people, old neighbors, came to the funeral. People flew from New Jersey to Houston to be at the funeral. They were neighbors of John and Beck. And John was a very busy man. He flew all over the world. He was corporate this, corporate that. His house was open to the neighborhood. They would grill out and bring everybody in, and Becky would organize prayer walks among the ladies and in the neighborhood, and they'd start walking together, and they'd be praying together, and these kinds of things. You can have an impact on your neighborhood. I know sometimes we just hate our neighbors and close the blind and this and that and the other. Please don't. You are placed by God for a reason in that family, in that neighborhood, and so on. When you become secure in who you are, you can cheer others on to become who they were created to be. Secure people are encouragers. Insecure people find pleasure in tearing others down. Verse 18, don't deceive yourselves. If any of you think you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. So my final point is, don't get too full of yourself. You're uniquely made. You're special. You're wonderful. Don't become puffed up with all that. You're unique. You don't need to be a clone of anyone else. Fully develop who you were created to be, but don't think you're all that. Prefer others above yourself. Take the low seat. Use your gifts to serve others. Don't look to get praise. Give it out liberally. Be humbled by the fact God has entrusted you with great gifts. Gifts that can earn enough to raise a family, bless a company, disciple other people. I was talking to Kirvin this morning, and he said, they're trying to hire two people, but they can't find people. There aren't enough people to go around for all the jobs that we have right now. People are valuable resources, and when you need one, you know how great they are. You have influence. You have power to build others up or tear them down. You can make their day, or you can give them a headache. Which do you choose? Paul tells us that if we think we're wise by this world's standard, we have degrees or titles or large paychecks, we ought to become fools so that we can become truly wise. What's he mean? Humble yourself. Walk humble. Look around and ask others about what they know, what they've been through. I read a study the other day that said intelligent people make more dumb mistakes than the rest of us. And they figure the reason is overconfident. They know how to do everything. They're good at everything. They're on they go. Develop yourself to your full potential, but stay humble, or your success will destroy you. Develop yourself to your full potential and help others do the same. Would you stand with me this morning?